Hi, everyone. Welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And today, I have another great guest. Her name is Susan Taylor Scherer. We'll say it the right way, though. So I'm going to bring her on. She is a gifted author, teacher, and intuitive counselor. And she is actually committed to help everybody get to their highest level from the heart and love. So, Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Nancy.
Now, repeat your name so they get it right.
Certainly. Susan Taylor Scherer. I've had to say it a few more times than you, so I understand.
No, it's spelled kind of different, so I look at it and went, but that's all right. So, Susan, let's talk mostly about who you are. You know, what got you started, why you became an author, and then the subject that you actually started writing about.
Wonderful. So, what I call my soul journey started as a child and feeling as though, actually it was a teenager going off to college, and feeling as though there's something more for me to be doing in this life. And I ended up living in a spiritual community for a number of years because I knew I didn't want to fit in the box and have 2.5 children and live in the burbs and all of that. And I just went, there's something different. And this was back in 73, and it just so happened in that time that communities were big. So there were lots of little communities. We didn't know about that, but we did know, I've got to find my people. And so at that point in time, it was finding kindred spirits. And then when it was time to leave the community, I started finding the people that had the courses, the techniques, the ways of doing things that resonated with me. And the fun part of that, it relates to how I got started with my work called Soul Mastery. It grew out of my community experience, which was could be called spiritual psychology, spiritual psychiatry, bridging our spiritual lives and our human lives so they can be one thing. And I started developing the work that I have been doing for about 18 years. And out of that, I had clients and students that said, could you write this down, please? And I said, okay, I am not a writer. I'm not an author. I will try. And 3 books later, I feel like I'm finally developing the ability to get things on paper well enough that I can say, whew, I am an author and I am a writer, or at least I'm going to have to say I am. So, yeah, that's how it unfolded. That's the short story.
Now, the 3 books that you have, Susan, you know, is kind of a trilogy. So
Yes. Let's
talk about, you know, a little bit of each of those books, and then we're really going to go into the Soul Reunion book.
Okay.
So maybe explain a little bit about each book to the listeners.
Wonderful. All right. So we're going to go out into the woo-woo end of the books. My first book was the most woo-woo of them all, because what I was doing with people was teaching them about the worlds that we came from before coming here, so you could learn about your soul gifts and your soul strengths. So the book was called Soul Mastery, Accessing the Gifts of Your Soul. And it really was written because my passion is helping people access their soul gifts and purposes and strengths and to find out why the heck they're here in the first place. And to really, again, feel that sense of, I have a spiritual purpose. It's not just to be connected. So I help people understand their soul gifts and strengths. And then born out of that, interestingly enough, and doing personal sessions with people, it was about, let's see, how do we help people, once they're aware of their gifts and starting to activate them, what do you do to help them embody those gifts? So book number 3 came forward, and yes, I would say that they were downloaded, channeled, however you want to put that. Second book, Soul Radiance, Bring Your Soul Riches to Life, which really says it all about what the book is about in terms of how to access those gifts in the moment and let them be a part of your life, again, so that your spiritual world and your material world are one thing. Because I believe that our state of enlightenment really is I'm in love with life itself, and I love being alive. When you think of people that inspire you, are your spiritual mentors or teachers, think of how much they actually enjoy their life. And if they don't, they're not walking their talk. You want to know that back of, you know, the moment they're in front of the pulpit or behind the pulpit and their life match up together, then they're walking their talk. And that's what I want to help people with, is to feel like there is no separation that way. There you have it, the perfect segue to book number 3, Soul Reunion, The Return Home from Separation. So all along, for the last 20 years, I've gone, the only wound really is the wound of separation. And the only thing we really need to do is be connected to the vastness of who we are, be able to know our soul gifts, feel them in our heart, feel them in our soul, embody those gifts, and we're good to go. We're doing the in love with life itself. But if we don't understand and own the fact that all our gifts are interrupted by our wounds of separation, then we could go in hamster wheel circles of trying to resolve all our emotional baggage. So it really is, you know, I joke when I say it's a quick fix, because nowadays I believe we're way past the point of being healed all the time. We need to get on with our lives and know how to get connected, so to speak, in any moment. So that's what the tools of the Soul Reunion book are about, and helping people understand that we have soul-level challenges. And we have to get in touch with the soul-level challenges that are ours to really clean the slate. So there's a little bit there.
there's just a little bit there. Now, Susan, why do people get disconnected? Why is the soul-level disconnection so predominant in most people?
Okay, well, there's lots of levels to it. Let's start with the emotional level, which most people can understand. At the emotional level, we get disconnected because we make choices based on fear, based on what I call protection, keeping ourselves from getting hurt, and choices based on staying small, which all goes back to fear, okay? Mm-hmm. Fear of being all that we are. So that's the basic bottom line, okay? Whether it's fear of being our most powerful self, being the shining as bright as we possibly can, fear of our heart being hurt, all those things are our wounds of separation as they play out in our daily life. Now, if you take it back to the soul level of things, what I have discovered, because I take people on journeys to either their home world, their soul essence, to the place where they first separated, and in the big picture as a soul, often what's happened, and it's unique for everyone, we have again made choices based on our weakness, and often it's just blind faith or innocence that says, oh, I forgot to stay connected and sort of tune in, ask my inner guidance system, ask God, ask infinite love, ask any of those dimensions of me, what do I choose now? How do I create from this place now? Because we've gotten sideswiped by better ideas. Just like anyone in this life has been sideswiped by people, whether it's a used car salesman or Madoff, anything like that, where we thought, well, this guy knows what he's talking about, but we forgot to check into the heart and soul of the matter and really check with our guidance. I'm sure the people that lost money with Bernie Madoff, I believe his name is, if they really checked in, they'd go, oh, something didn't feel right and I didn't listen to that. I got excited because of such and such a reason, or it sounded so good on paper, or I was afraid I was going to lose my money and this person guaranteed that my money would be safe. So I went with that fast talk. And we have that at a soul level where we've been challenged in that way and we let go of our inner authentic, listening to our inner authentic truth.
Yeah, people have a hard time listening to themselves. Now, you made a statement a couple times already, and that's about being off the planet or from wherever they came from.
Yes.
Do you believe, Susan, that we're really not from the Earth itself?
Yes. I believe that most of us, if not all of us, are here to do an Earth incarnation as visitors. And we're much larger souls who have lived in other worlds before coming here. We chose to come here to have a physical experience because it's been scientifically proven to the best they can that this is the one world that has the depth and breadth of physical reality that we know here, where we live from the six senses. We're not just angels on harps. We're living in six senses, and we have a physical capacity of consciousness creating here. So many souls said, "Ooh, I love that idea. I'll go try that out. I've been in lots of other dimensions, living as love, as truth, as peace, as oneness. I think I'll go do that Earth experience to feel what those qualities of light are about, being given expression embodied in a physical format." So that would be why we came here, but we came from other dimensions where we learned about what I call qualities of spirit, like peace and joy and love, every quality that we all wish to have. We actually experienced those dimensions in our other worlds, and we know far more about that than we know how to do an Earth incarnation, which is why many people on a spiritual path will have difficulty with the human dimension of things. It's a little more foreign, actually.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause a lot of people have a hard time believing that there is any energy out there besides what's here on Earth. And I constantly tell people, you really need to do a little bit of searching because you'll find out that a lot of things that you've been told is not quite really the reality of fact of how we got here. And everybody goes, well, what do you mean? So that's why I wanted you to explain that a little bit, because a lot of people can't really see beyond their nose. They think that we're the only highly intelligent thing that's around, and really that's not true. In fact, we're babes compared to some of the other highly intelligent entities that are out there.
Yes, and I could say more about that if you want to, because I do understand how many people just can't believe that there's something larger than this. Mostly, you know, it's because they would say, somewhat it is because, I won't put a generalization on it, one of the biggest things is that people go, okay, so if there's something larger out there, why the heck is it such a mess here? If there's, you know, a real God out there, why would we be going to war? If there is a benevolent universe out there, why is there such suffering? And that, I believe, interestingly enough, is where some of the religions came from that started the idea that it's just here and now and there are no other incarnations. And at the same time, it's interesting how a lot of religions will talk about God as being a punishing God, etc. So it's very confusing when people really look at their hearts. Does any of it make sense at a heart level? No, it doesn't. The only thing that really makes sense at a heart level is there is such a thing called life eternal. Life eternal. So just to go back to that sense of there is something larger out there, I guess, you know, the simplest thing is, well, where did the stars and the moon and the sun come from if they weren't built by human beings?
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I do understand the fear people have. There's a fear that if there's something larger, and they don't understand it, it's scary. And I suspect underneath all of that is just a generalized fear of the unknown.
Do you think, Susan, that people are helped to stay in fear, whether it be by what they hear on that television tube or any kind of media print or what our government might be telling us?
Yes, absolutely. Fear is a huge comfort zone. And one of the biggest wounds of separation I have discovered in working with people all these years is we want to belong to something. Imagine that you're a soul and you come here and you know you have an incredible gift of, say, love to bring. You have this amazing gift of abundance to bring. And you come here, and the people here look at you like you're crazy because all they want to do is, you know, chop wood and carry water or whatever it is, live a physical existence. And you go, oh, my gosh, you're kidding. You don't appreciate what the qualities of love and abundance could provide for your life. And they're going, well, no, we're in a recession. Just give me a loaf of bread, please. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If they're in a place of fear and survival, which go hand in hand, scarcity, fear, survival go hand in hand, and we come and we go, whoa, I don't feel like I belong to this place. And if I don't belong to this place, I feel alien, odd, etc. So I better make sure I belong to something. So when the majority is in fear, the majority is putting down the president, the majority through the media, etc., is doing something, you feel far more comforted being part of that than saying, wait a minute, I have something different to say here. I have something different to stand for here. I want to stand for my authentic heart and soul, which beats at a different drummer. And it's really hard for people to do that. Steve Jobs did a commercial years ago that never got aired about the crazies, that all the brilliant people were considered crazy. So that does not
mm-hmm.
make for much precedence as it relates to people really standing for their authentic nature, because you're going to be called crazy, you're going to be crucified, etc. So people go, let's just stay with the status quo, which is in fear, and then I'll be taken care of. I belong, I'll be taken care of, and I will be safe. And that does perpetuate things, yes.
Oh, it does. Now, you do Akashic readings. So let's talk a little bit about what, first of all, what it is and why it's so helpful.
Okay. The Akashic Records is the record of all knowledge for all souls for all time, technically. I got into that because I believe if you're reading as it relates to a person's soul, that's the most accurate information. You're not talking about their energy in the moment. You're not talking about just their aura. You're not talking about potential. You're talking about what is going on with the soul. And I learned the Akashic Records because I was interested in people's soul purposes and gifts and strengths. So when you read a soul, when you read the dynamic of the soul and what the gifts are of a soul, you're reading the deepest part of a person. And we all love to be seen and understood. And when a person, which has been my experience all these years, feels seen and understood at a soul level, oh, so much can happen that opens up, relaxes, just gets life flowing again. You mean there's a place for me here? You get my authentic nature, you get, and all of that relates to reading the soul, our soul dimension, and what it has to offer. So that's how I got into the Akashic Records. And when I teach people the Akashic Records, I do that because I want people to feel as though they can also read a person's soul and get really accurate information that they can trust.
Yeah, it's real important. That word trust is real important. People have a hard time with that word, too. Now, you also are a licensed avatar master. Now, can you explain that and what being an avatar master means?
Sure. Well, since the movie came out, it puts a whole different spin on it because
mm-hmm.
it makes it sound like I've been to Pandora, but it's not the case. Avatar is an international course that I have been part of, lo, these many years. It was started in 1986. 86, that's like 30 years ago. They spoke about creating your reality, and this course was brilliant in bringing forward the tools for the experience of what it is to create your reality. What does that feel like? What does that look like to say the world is a reflection of me, and I am source? What is it like to really feel that and know that down to your bones? And anything that gets in the way as a sabotaging mechanism, you get to learn how to work with that in an easy way. And it's part of what helped me to develop the tools that I've used in my own private work that I've developed personally, is this whole way of looking at things that we truly create our reality to a soul level, to a universal level. That you can create the universe you want to live in, the way your world wants to look, absolutely. And, it takes away that whole victim thing completely. So if you want to stay a victim, I wouldn't talk about feeling as though you want to create your reality, because it really does come back to self-responsibility, which is, it seems like, a grip on your life, but it's the most freeing thing there is to say, oh, it's all up to me. And at the same mm-hmm. time, when you say it's all up to me, you're going, I'm in command of my life and no one else is. That's how I want to live. Yoo-hoo. Yeah.
People have a really hard time thinking that they really can, and it's like they have to, take their power back, and everybody says, oh, let's empower everybody. Well, it's not that you can empower everybody, because some people are just not going to do it until they really, really have to. People taking back their own power is actually a very big step. And I think that a lot of people are believing that our 2012 Maya calendar ending is supposed to be a time of highly, highly ascension, so that people all of a sudden go into this other realm and it's all going to be hunky-dory. But I don't believe that. And everybody still has to do their work. No matter what level you're at, you have to do your work. Without you doing your work, you're not going to get much higher in any ascension or any other level, is the way I take a look at it. Now, Susan, you teach a lot of classes. So let's talk a little bit about your classes, and then we're going to go in and talk about your book.
Okay. So I just want to say I really appreciate what you're saying, Nancy, this last point that you made. And, it's an individual choice. I see this 2012 place, mm-hmm. where we're going. And, some say that the Mayan calendar ended this last October 28th. So, hey, we're already, we're on the other side.
uh-huh.
So if that's the case, then we're still here. But it really is up to us, which are we going to be part of the new earth that's developing, or are we going to fall away because we hold on, what I call holding on to the side of the pool for dear life, which is our survival mechanisms. If we do that, we're not going to get very far in creating a brand new world. And like you said, it isn't going to be somebody's going to lift us to a new place, mom and dad are going to lift us to a new place. And it's all going to be safe, and it's all going to be happy, and we'll be taken care of. Is it going to be harder than that? No, because the grace is there that says, if we're actually, and this really does go into my classes, I promise, because all my classes are teaching people how to get connected to their spiritual resources, which is all part of their soul gifts, the resources and learn how to hold them inside so you have them to connect with, so that in any moment you get to choose, do I want to live from my resources, my spiritual resources, my true, authentic, resourceful self, or do I live in a place of needing somebody to take care of me and making sure that somebody else is going to make sure it's okay? So classes, I do any kind of class that keeps showing itself, whether it's Akashic learning to read the Akashic Records, intuition, living a soul-directed life, union with the Sacred Heart, create the life you love. They just keep coming my way because I am very creative. New ways for people to learn how to embody all that we are and live in this incredible world and be the happiest possible, happiest person
mm-hmm.
possible. Mm-hmm. So, yes, what else would you like to know about that?
Well, a lot of people, Susan, have a very hard time with trusting their intuition because they have these answers,
yes.
and their answers are usually right on, but then that logic kicks in, mm-hmm. and they want to think about it, and then they want to think about it again because mm-hmm. it comes so easy, but then it's like, no, that can't be because that's way too easy, so I got to think about this. And then they think about it, and they think about it until they're usually either tired or frustrated, and then they make a choice. And then they find out it didn't really work as well or not at all. And then they hear that little voice inside of them going, I know and knew I should have done it the first way. So how, Susan, how would you tell people to start trusting that intuitive part of themselves so that they don't go through that thinking process and have to get themselves so frustrated?
Okay, great. I love that question. And I love the intuition classes that have been developed through me. You know, it's not my ego. It's just my guides give me these brilliant, practical ways of doing things. How you trust, one of the exercises I do, and, you know, all these classes, the intuition classes, can be downloaded through my website on MP3s, and, I think they don't even cost much. You know, I just don't charge a lot.
Give out your website.
Oh, sure. Great idea. Soulmastery.net. SoulMastery.net. And if you forget that, you can Google Susan Shire, you can Google Susan Taylor Shire, you can Google Soul Mastery, and it will get you there. Soul Mastery is the key, but net also helps.
mm-hmm.
So, intuition, trusting intuition. What I find is, besides the fact there's lots of ways to do that, learn how to trust it. One of the fun things I do with people is teach them the difference between your intuitive voice and your self-sabotaging voice. Now, just like you said, your linear brain comes in. It's your protective mechanism. It's your mechanism you put in place to stay small and to listen to fear and not get too intuitive because you might be too big for your own britches, you know.
mm-hmm.
And you might not be normal. You might be living out of the box. Can you imagine when I first brought my book out, Soul Mastery, that was 2005, you know, I think that's proper English, like everyone else, you know, has a biological family. They didn't know that I was doing something this woo-woo. So I'm like, oh, I have to reveal myself. I have to come out of the closet, so to speak, and let people know that I'm talking about intuition, Akashic Records, people's soul. I just told everyone in my family I was a psychotherapist. And I have to tell them, you know, about these home worlds that I come from. Oh, gulp. But it's like, hey, if you don't, you're not listening to your intuition. You're listening to the voice that wants you to stay small and belong to your family.
mm-hmm.
So here's what people can do. When they get intuitive guidance, the first thing to do is to write it down. Don't even think about it. Just write it down. Another thing you can do is when you go to get your intuitive guidance, say, ask, you know, am I going to win the lottery next Thursday? One of the things you can do is go, okay, the first time I'm going to ask this question, I'm going to let all those voices come in to my head, my mother, my father, my self-sabotaging mechanism, all the self-critical voices. I'm going to let you guys give me all the answers you want to. So am I going to win the lottery next week? And you let all those voices come in. You write those down. You take note where those voices came from. Do they come from your right lobe? Do they come from your big toe? How do they sound? Do they have a particular pitch to them, a particular intensity? And you go, well, is that not fascinating? Okay, and you write that down, and you get familiar with that. Okay, so you know the difference. And then you go, okay, everybody, thank you so much for sharing. I've given you my time and energy. Now I'm going to go over here and ask my guidance about this, okay? And again, there's more tools you need to have to learn how to get into the space where you know it's your intuitive guidance. Then you get that, you write it down, you notice, okay, did that come from my left brain, my big toe, etc.? How did it feel? What was the nature and quality of it? Oh, look at how different that is. And then you go, which one would I choose to listen to? Which one do I trust? Which one feels right in my heart? Not my third eye. Which one feels right and makes my heart expand? And you go, I think I'll go with that one. You write it down, and a day later you come back, you look at all the choices, and you go, I think I'll go with that one. It stands out pretty clearly at that point, and that's how you start building trust. I will listen to the voice that sounds like that, looks like that, comes from this way, and that's the one I want to go with from here on in. Okay?
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, they're going, yeah, right. And so one of the things that I do with people, Susan, is I give them like 6 to 8 weeks actually to get okay with their intuition. And I do it like you do. I have them write down whatever gut feeling they have. If they're about to walk into a store and something says, I don't know if I should do that, write it down and date it. Doesn't matter what you do with it at that moment, but write it down and date it, you know, and then you just do whatever you're going to do. And at the end of each 2 weeks, you actually save all those papers that you've written things down on. You pick them up, you go back and you read it, and anything that's come close, it does not have to be perfect, but comes close to what you jotted down, you put a check mark by it. And you do that like for 6 to 8 weeks. At the end of that 6 to 8 weeks, there's going to be a lot of check marks there. Mm. And at that time, your logic brain, that one that tries to convince you not to do things, and then your heart smart part shows how right it is. So then your brain will, you know, step aside. Mm. And people find it very fascinating because when they go back to check it off, it's like, oh, I did think that. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I didn't necessarily follow it, but that's what I thought. You know, so it's amazing how just that little tiny writing things down, that hand-eye coordination, actually helps to soak in, and I call it the heart smart part, which is your intuitive level.
I like that. Yeah.
You know, and it works really, really well for a lot of people. You know, and then there's the people who start it, and then they get bored with it like they get bored with everything else, and so they never complete it, you know, which is okay, because that's another human trait that we have. But, you know, it's real important that people trust it. It truly is their God-given right to have it, you know. But not trusting it, you're like wasting it. And so I always tell people, just listen to it. It may sound weird, may sound strange. You may go, well, what's that all about? Just listen to it. Jot it down. Do what you want to do, but always go back and check yourself to see what has happened. So, again, that hand-eye coordination actually helps that intuitive part come out stronger and helps that logic brain to go, maybe they have something there. I can take a little break now, you know. You know, because there's
great.
People really think way too much, Susan. They think and they think and they think and they think until they're exhausted, you know. So
it's all based on fear, because they're afraid to go into their heart, because they think their heart is going to betray them, and it's just the opposite. The mind is betraying us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And people will find, once they start trusting their own intuition, life really does get a lot easier for them.
Amen. Amen. Yes. And that's when, like you were talking about 2012, when you start trusting your intuition, then you have a sense that the force is with you. Call it God, mm-hmm. force, whatever you want. There, that's the way to get the whole universe backing you, and then all your choices are backed by this universal knowledge and wisdom and clarity and love and support, and you can't go wrong. It's much easier. And then there isn't a whole thing about having to, you know, do your work. It's like, oh, I get to finally enjoy my life. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because people have forgotten how to enjoy their lives,
yeah.
and they've really forgotten how to love themselves so they can then start to love everything else and get the love that they really want. People are just, they're starting to pick it up again, but for a while it's kind of been lost, you know, with the greed and the control and I have this and you're not going to get it, ha, 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 you know, attitude, you know. So it's changing, you know, and if people think that they have to have the Mayan calendar with the 2012 end of the world thing in order to spark them to do
yeah.
their work, that's
yeah.
great. Use whatever they need to use to get there. But get there.
Yeah, exactly. We do seem to have to be up against the wall, don't we?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's really funny because I look back, and when I was a child, Susan and I had a real freaky accident where I landed with my head and neck under my back. And by all rights, I should be dead or paralyzed, and
yeah.
I'm not. You know, but from that time on, I had all these, especially this one beautiful angel voice talking to me all the time.
Aww.
You know,
Aww.
They gave me visions. They told me things to come, and they kept telling me, 2010, and I thought, that's a long time ahead. I'm not going to worry about it. And all of a sudden, I'm in 2010, and everybody's worried about 2012. And I go, no, you don't get it. It's really, that calendar's off, folks, at least a couple years here, you know, so you're not quite getting it just right, you know. And I sit here and I listen to all this publicity about, oh, the world's going to end, it's going to end. Well, I hate to tell you folks, the world is not going to end. It's going to make changes, but it's not going to end, you know.
Mm.
So now let's talk about your
yes.
book, Soul Reunion,
right.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, let's tell everybody where they can get your books.
Okay, just about anywhere you want to.
That's good.
You can start with my website. You can also go to your local bookstore and support local, and you can order it there. As you know, not every book is on the shelf these days. So you
mm-hmm.
can go up to anybody and order it. You can go to Amazon and get it through Amazon. You know, I love telling people you have choices. One, you're supporting Amazon, and maybe you'll get it for a few dollars less. The other is you can support your local bookstore and buy it there and have to wait a week. The other is, which, you know, doesn't relate just to me, but other authors, if you get the book through their website, you're giving them 100% of the proceeds versus Amazon, you're giving 40% of the proceeds. So you have choices, whoever and whatever you want to support. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm, which is
yeah.
good. Now, at the very beginning of your book, Susan, there's a couple of questions that you ask, you know, that you want readers to pay attention to.
Okay.
So I'm going to kind of ask them. You can give me a short synopsis of what it is, because I'm going to shorten them a little bit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The first question, actually, I'm going to ask you the first two, and it says, what does reunion look like, and what does it feel like? So my question is the look and the feel of being reconnected or, you know, having a soul reunion. Would somebody be happy? Would they feel depressed? Or would they be, oh, my God, I got all this power? How would they feel?
Ah, okay. You know, they would feel whatever they want to. They would be in command of their life. So in any moment, they would be connected. When I talk about soul reunion, the soul is connected to everything, everywhere. When you are in union with your soul, you have the possibility to be opened up to every quality of spirit that you wish to be opened up to, which means you have the whole range of the field of creation at your fingertips. When you're connected, and I call it soul reunion because it's broader than just connected. Sometimes people look at connection and it feels like it's sort of this laser-like in-the-moment experience, okay, in this moment, I feel God. Okay, now I'm going to go into my life. Sacred Reunion means that you're in union with something. It's a feeling nature all the way down to your toes, and you really even hold it in your abdomen and in your heart, a sense of knowing, a knowing sense of power or a knowing sense of love. Feel the difference between a knowing sense of power. I know how powerful the universe is moving through me. I know that I have the abundance of it moving through me right now. That's because it's a knowing sense in my abdomen and my whole body versus, well, I know it's going to rain tomorrow, which really is, I hope it's going to rain tomorrow, or I know it's going to rain tomorrow, but I don't want it to. That's not true knowing. So soul reunion is a sacred space of knowing. And it starts with all is abundantly well, because everybody wants to know that all is abundantly well in their world. And again, you are in command of your life, and love is in, you are in union with love, and it is the ignition for what you want to create.
Which is pretty important for people, because
yeah.
A lot of them, they have the thought. I know they have the thought, Susan. But again, it's that fear that they're wrong, and it's that fear of trust. And when they get that fear that they're wrong out of their head and that fear of trust realign with the trust I have, they'll see a big difference happens to them even with that.
Yes, and knowing is the deeper place even beyond trust. So here's how I see the scale. It starts with hope, which is, you know, sort of above the head. I hope it's going to rain tomorrow. And then faith goes into more of the mental, which is, I have faith that it's going to rain tomorrow. Okay? Then you go into trust, which is a heart dimension. I trust it's going to rain tomorrow. Can you feel the difference? And then you go into knowing, which again takes in the body, the whole body, and goes, I know it's going to rain tomorrow. It's like, it's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
So even with intuition, we want people to feel as though we want people. I love sharing to the point that people get it, that they know that their intuitive nature is worth listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And that then they start to build trust because they go, oh, that really is worth listening to, isn't it?
But you know, and that's really, people need to kind of get to that position. Now, you also do cellular release. Does that help people, Susan, let go of a lot of their fears and their stuff, and will help them to find their soul reunion quicker by having that done?
Yes, I combine it with how I work. It's all done at the same time when I work with shifting, transforming, clearing the souls, okay, we will release it at a soul level. And here's how I do it. The best way to release an old pattern is to replace it with something that you value more, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you get reconnected to those soulful spiritual resources of love, for instance, then the cellular release is whatever you're holding in your cells, whether it's fear or lack or whatever that's in juxtaposition to love, is flushed out because there you are going, I value love, and there's no room for the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you don't value it as much.
Which is important because a lot of things that people value right now, they really need to devalue it.
Yes, and you know, it's a lot less work to just replace it with something you value more than to keep constantly having to work with the stuff that you don't like having around.
Mm-hmm.
See, because, you know, there's a lot in the healing world of going, get rid of that, clear this, take care of that. And then you're constantly, you know, solving the problem at the level of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Instead of going, you know, that doesn't so much matter from a soul perspective. This is how I'd like to choose to be in this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think and I totally agree with you, Susan. People, I think, you know, are starting to wake up a little bit more. Everything that they can use to help themselves to know that they are at one with the entire universe would actually help them out much better than to think, again, it's just me. And unfortunately, right now, a lot of people are still very much in their ego thinking, it's just me, 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 me. And we need to get out of that. So in your book, it talks a lot about everything and how to get out everything out of the way. So let's do a little bit of the ego. Why, Susan, are people in so much ego right now?
Okay, so why I talk about it, it really, for me, what I talk about more so than the ego is the fear and the protection that we sit in. There, you know, it's a false thing, this whole idea of protection. Let me go into that for a moment. We really don't need protection when we're in the place of oneness or love. When we're in the true place we wish to be in, you can, you know, ask yourself, do I need protection? No, because we're in the most powerful place that there could be. It's only when we have a fear that there's something outside of us that has power over us that we feel we have to hold on to some kind of protective mechanism, okay? That there's something mm-hmm. more powerful out there. Okay, so I don't usually do that. I sort of lost track of the question you were asking. So ask it again if you don't mind. That was funny. I went into that little piece.
Well, I called it ego and you called it
fear.
Oh,
that's right. Okay. So why they're in fear is because they are afraid all the time that there's a power outside of themselves that is bigger than them. And that means we're a victim to something else. So we hold on to the ego, which is holding on to the fear, because we think without that, we're going to be swallowed up, eaten alive, etc. Okay, so it's just a survival mechanism. The ego is to be in survival. But the interesting thing is, okay, that until we're in the place of creation, we will always be trying to survive. And that's not going to get us where we want to go. The only place to get where we want to go is to be creating the life we choose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So ego just relates to survival. When we think about it, why do we make choices that are ego-based? Is because we're afraid we're not going to survive, and we're doing everything based on survival.
Part of you have like a little teeny paragraph that talks about prayer. And you talk about how the Hawaiians have a practice of reconciliation and forgiveness. Explain that just a little bit.
Okay. What I'm talking about in the book at that moment in time is that we have our wounds of separation relate to aspects of us, not us per se, but aspects of us that we have had disconnection to with. Okay, so there's a part of us that's held in fear. So when we feel when there's a part of us that's been held in fear, it's not connected. So if that part is not feeling connected, it's going to be feeling separate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if it's feeling separate, then it needs to have a resource given to it for what it really needs. What I find is that these parts of us that are in separation are really looking for resources. Mostly it's just, you know, love. A lot of it really is love that these parts of us are looking for that keep us in separation, okay? And again, it's the parts of us that we designated to make sure that we survive. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell me what else you'd like around that, because I sort of went around the question a little bit, but I want to make sure that I'm answering it correctly.
Well, the little prayer, it's only like a couple little sentences.
Right, so what we want to do is, see, we're not forgiving you know, it gets a little confusing because what happens is the whole matter of forgiveness gets in there. But the prayer relates to, you know, I am so sorry to that part of myself that I've put in fear or survival. I am so sorry that I have put you in this place and kept you separate. I want to bring you back into connection to oneness, love, truth, you know, my sense of wholeness. And so the prayer is, please forgive me for separating you as an aspect of me. And the other piece that goes beyond that is, when I talk about self-love, the most loving thing you can do for yourself is to love yourself enough to give every aspect of you the opportunity to be reconnected again. That, to me, is one definition of self-love.
Yeah, which is a biggie.
It's a biggie, yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. We're almost out of time, Susan. We probably have about 3.5 minutes left. So give out your website again, please.
Okay, great. Soulmastery.net, SoulMastery.net.
Is there a phone number you'd like to give out to people
sure.
so they can get a hold of you?
Absolutely. 310-310-450-0351. And my email address is susan@soulmastery.net.
Okay, now repeat all of it one more time.
Absolutely. Website is soulmastery.net. Email is Susan, S-U-S-A-N-N, at soulmastery.net. And phone number is 310-450-0351.
Great. Now, we have about a minute and a half. So in that minute and a half, Susan, out of all three books that you have written, which book did you enjoy writing the most?
Ooh, that's a loaded question. Well, you know, this last one, Soul Reunion, I loved it because it just flowed through me, and I felt like I was in connection with the guides that helped me write it, which I call the Beloveds, helped me write it because they are so keen to get everyone into reconnection and to bridge their spiritual life with their physical life. I can't imagine, it's sort of like having children and saying, you know, you like one more than the other, but it was probably the easiest for me because I'm getting better at this writing thing and getting my thoughts down in writing.
That's good. Now, do you have plans on doing another book or two?
Oh, yes. It keeps coming through. The online course that I've just been teaching, Create the Life You Love, I'm going to be writing that out as a book, and I have another one that I began, gosh, even before I finished the last one, and I don't have the title for it. It relates to love and the dimensions of true love, way beyond just romantic love, and it's going to come out at some point, too. So lots of things going on.
Maybe you might want to call it Dimensions of Love so people understand that there's
love,
more
yes.
than one.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Our time is actually up, Susan, and I'd like to thank you for taking the time. It was very enlightening, and I hope people really enjoyed it, and they really need to check out the book because it's quite good. And you were very interesting. So I thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Nancy. It's just a privilege to be with you and share in such a rich conversation of soulful and heartful depth. And I know you live in that place, and I so appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome, and you do too, and I thank you for that, because without you, we wouldn't have the books that you got out there.
That's great. Thank you.
Susan, you take care, and again, thanks for being on the show.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
I'd like to thank you, the listeners. May God bless all of you. Do a little bit of that soul searching. Get in nice and deep. Find out who you are,
And have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye now.